Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that is a whole lot different than the Christianity that's in the world. Nominal or establishment Christianity has such a mixture of truth and error that it's awfully hard to really find and understand what the real truth is. Now, the Bible tells us, and these things that we're going to cover, because we're going to ask the question, do you really believe? And what do you believe? And why do you believe it? Now, there is something about human beings that God created us to do. We always act upon what we believe, whether it's true, whether it's a lie, whether it is an illusion, whether it is a fact. What do you really believe? Now, over 90% of people say that they believe there is a God. Now, how valuable is that? Well, a whole lot of other people believe, probably with many of them, with very fervent belief, that there is no God. There are those who believe the Bible is true. There are those who say part of it's true. There are those who believe and say it's filled with nothing but lies. So let's ask the question. Now, I want you to ask yourself this. What do I personally really believe? And the things that I believe, how many of them are lies, partial lies, mixture of truth and error? Or how many of them are really true, absolutely true? Do you know how to do that? Now, let's come to the Epistle of James, James the second chapter, and let's see something. How valuable is it to say you believe there is a God, or you believe there is a creator, and then it's just part of your way of thinking, but it's not part of the way you live? Now, if you believe there's a creator or that there is a God, what is your standing with God? Have you ever asked that question? And if you believe there is a God, do you believe him? Now, what do I mean by that? It's a difference to believe that there is a God, and it's entirely different to believe God. Now, we'll show you the difference right here. James, the second chapter, verse 19. Do you believe that God is one? You do well to believe this. Even the demons believe and tremble in fear. Very interesting. You ever thought about that? Satan and the demons not only believe there is a God, they know there is a God, and they rebelled against God to try and usurp God's authority in the universe. And they were cast down to the earth and became Satan, the devil, the adversary, and the fallen angels that went with Lucifer, who became Satan, are demons. And so in this world, you have this tension. You have this conflict. Now, why do the demons believe and tremble? Because they understand the day of judgment is coming upon them. where they will first be cast into a lake of fire, then separated somewhere in the universe in the blackest darkness forever. So where do you stand? Let's see something very interesting here concerning faith and belief. Faith in the Greek comes from the word pistos. To believe is pisteo. So to believe is actually faithizing, if you could put it this way. Okay? If you believe in a man, you're putting your faith in a man. If you believe in an idol, you're putting your faith in an idol. If you believe in a lucky charm that you carry around, you believe in that, see? So you are faithizing. So faith and belief come together like this. Disbelief causes you to have other consequences. Now we'll talk about that later. Now verse 20 says, "But are you willing to understand, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Now that's interesting, because faith, true faith, always requires or impels you or gives you the mindset that you are going to do what you believe because you believe it in faith. So, faith without works is dead. Now, what if you have been an atheist? And what if you're beginning to have doubts about being an atheist? Well, you need this booklet, God or No God. That will tell you very clearly that all the things of God are clearly known and understood, even logically, philosophically, actually, by faith spiritually, by observation, to see it. Then download this special article, Seven Proofs of God. Now here's what's very interesting about faith. We are to prove. God doesn't ask you to have blind belief. Blind belief will get you in trouble. Because if you have blind belief, then you can believe a lie. And we'll see a little later, if you believe a lie, you can believe a lie with the same intensity that you believe the truth. So because you're convinced in your own mind that you're right, does that make it actually right? Well, likewise, God wants you to believe in him, but here's what he wants you to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Because if you prove all things, you can see the truth from the error, the right from the wrong, the righteousness from the wickedness, and you can separate out those things and not be involved in them. Prove all things. Now, God has another requirement for you. Let's come to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now, Hebrews 11 is often called the faith chapter because it is by faith. It defines what faith is and also tells you what kind of faith you need to have to come to God. Now, what if you have partial belief, partial proof? What then do you do to have full proof and full belief? You ask God to help you. Because we will see here in just a minute the things that cause people to not believe. But here's what you must do if you say you believe in God. Now, one other thing you need to understand, which is you also need to prove the Bible. Because the Bible is the Word of God, the spoken word of God so important that he put it in print in almost all the known languages, the entire Bible, over 400, the New Testament in over 2,200 languages, and the Gospel of Mark in over 2,600 languages. And it spread to the whole world. And here's a little proof for you. You can check on all the statistics of it. And they haven't yet figured out a way to check out all the digital Bibles that people have. But they know that from the beginning of the printing of the Bible, beginning with in 1456 with Gutenberg, there have been over 7 billion Bibles printed. More than any other book, and it's still the greatest book for sale. Okay? Now then, God wants you to take the Bible, the Word of God, and prove Him. Now let's come here to verse 6. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God. And impossible means there is no power to really understand the true God if you don't have faith, because faith and belief work together to provide what you must do, what you must think, how you must live, if you want God's blessings. All right, continuing. For it is mandatory for the one who comes to God to believe that he exists, and that means also everything that he is and proclaims himself to be. Now, there are 7 proofs of God. Have an article, you can download it. 7 proofs of God. I'll just read the subtitles. You can download the article right after you're done watching this church at home. Proof number 1, creation demands a creator. Look at the design of everything that we have is fantastic indeed. Even down to the smallest grain of sand, down to the smallest cell. And for scientists in quantum physics, quantum biology, when they see a single cell, they see a miniaturized design of how the universe works. How could that happen by accident? Okay? Proof number 2. Natural laws demand a lawmaker or lawgiver. Everything in the universe and everything on the earth works by law. Now stop and think for a minute. Your body works by law, does it not? You're so tall, you weigh so much, correct? You have to have a right heartbeat. If it's more or less, you have heart problems. You have to breathe, and if you don't breathe, you die. See, because that's the law of physical life. There are laws governing your eyesight, laws governing the movement of your muscles, laws governing the reproduction of human life. Likewise, all animal life, everything that reproduces itself operates by law. And what is it that they say about human genes and chromosomes? There is the genome book. That is the book of the genes and chromosomes of human beings. And they are all numbered. Now stop and think for a minute. If that happened by accident, how could they be numbered? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 139, they are numbered. Now, here's another book you need for from a speck of dust to a son of God, why were you born? Is there purpose to your life? The creator, the lawmaker, the lawgiver? Proof number three, life comes only from life. A dead body of any animal cannot produce life. Proof four, interdependency of nature demands a creator. Look at the bees. Look at the flowers. Which came first? Because a bee can't last or exist without the flowers. And the flowers can't reproduce without the bees. Likewise, for many other things that we eat. Everything that demands pollinization.
In Mexico, there is a little bee. It's a little tiny bee. It's not a whole lot bigger than a flea. It's a true bee. It doesn't have a stinger, but it is a bee. It's called the Melipona bee. And this little bee is closely identified with something that all of us have enjoyed from time to time called vanilla. And I will ask people, do you know where vanilla comes from? And they will say, oh yeah, the vanilla bean. And then we'll say, well, where does the bean come from? Well, it comes from a tree. Well, no, not really. It comes from an orchid. And the vanilla orchid grows up a tree as a vine. And here is the problem. The vanilla orchid only blooms one morning out of the year. Now, they don't all bloom on the same morning, but it'll bloom 2.5-3 hours. And then by afternoon, it wilts. And it can't be pollinated. But why is there a problem here? Well, because the vanilla bean pollen is covered with a little septum down inside the flower, so the pollen can't get out. The Melipona bee knows exactly what to do to pollinate the vanilla flower so that we can get the vanilla bean so that we can have vanilla, which most of us enjoy. And this little bee will come up to the flower, and it knows how to land on the flower, push up the septum, find the little entrance there, and go in. And then when it comes out, it has pollen with it, and it'll go to the next one. And this little bee was made for the orchid. And without the bee, you just don't have the vanilla bean. Now, that came up way back in the day of Hernando Cortez. And Cortez, when he came over here, went to Mexico, liked vanilla, took some back with him to Europe. And then for 300 years, they grew vanilla plants. I guess they did it with cuttings because they didn't get any beans. So like that was like 1519. In 1836, a man named Moren decided, I'm going to go to Mexico. I'm going to find out why they get the vanilla bean in Mexico. We don't get the vanilla bean in Europe. So he went to Mexico. He sat down with the vanilla flowers and watched them. And all of a sudden, one day, he hears this, and he looks, and there's that little Melipona bee, and he saw it land, lift up the septum, find the little entry point, goes in, and I now know why they get vanilla in Mexico, and we don't get it. And so here comes artificial pollination. And then they started growing vanilla in the European areas, and they could get it because they had to artificially pollinate it, because that little bee is the only insect that knows how to pollinate that particular orchid. So the orchid and the bee are made for each other. They had to both be made together at the same time. Otherwise, in one generation, the vanilla is going extinct because there's nothing there to pollinate it if the little bee isn't there. But if the little bee doesn't have the information to know how to get into the flower, which other insects apparently don't know how to do that, well, then you still get an extinct flower. So they had to be made together.
Proof number five, there has to be a master clockmaker. What do I mean by that? The universe is set in motion. And just look at the time on the earth. How do we get a precise time on the earth? Because it moves just a little all the time by checking the universe. Now, think on that. Proof number six, is anything on this earth in the physical realm superior to man? Well, that's interesting, isn't it? The Bible tells us that we're made after the image and likeness of God. That's very important to understand, and if you get the book From a Speck of Dust to the Son of God, Why Were You Born? You'll find out. Proof number 7, changed lives and answered prayer. Now, that's when you start applying Hebrews 11:6. You start believing in God, and He will begin to work in your life. With this, then, you can prove that evolution is completely not true. Now, let's come here to Romans, the first chapter. This is important because it verifies all the Psalms. Like Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and His handiwork. Now, we begin to understand God by the things that He has made. There are things visible that He has made, and there are also things invisible that He has made. All the laws of God are written down, so we know them, but they act invisibly upon us. Same way with proving God. Romans, the first chapter, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, if that happens, what's being produced? A lie. Now, especially in religion, there are so many, many, many lies that people firmly, absolutely believe. Let's just take one. Sunday keeping. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath, the seventh day, to keep it holy. Who gave that command? God did. Who makes it holy? God does. Now, the nominal Christianity of the world professes Sunday and keeps Sunday and say that the New Testament changed the day of worship from the seventh day to the first day. Question. Do you believe that? Have you operated on that basis? Have you accepted it? Question. Have you proved it? How do you start proving it? Number one truth is, no man can instruct God. No man can undo what God has done. No man can substitute human rationale or commandments for God. See, so that's the unrighteousness. Suppressed the truth. Now today you see it in the media all the time. They take something and create news, which is a lie, rather than simply report the facts. You have this in the colleges. And look at it today. With the election of Trump, there's a nervous breakdown of millions of millennials going to college, some of whom never even voted. But they're so brainwashed because they believe all the nonsense they're taught, and it's actually satanic, demonic nonsense, in the universities. Because the truth is suppressed. You can't speak it, you can't bring it, you can't open a Bible. Oh, but you can bring the Quran. Now, notice verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest among them. It can be known. There are things that you can know about God by proving that He exists, like the seven proofs we just covered, for God has manifested it to them. What are they? For the invisible things of Him are perceived from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that are made, both His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They are without excuse, and they don't have a leg to stand on. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their own reasonings, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now think on that. What does that mean? That's important for us to understand before we get into how do you believe the truth and what is the truth to believe. You have to understand why people don't. Here's part of it right here. While professing themselves to be the wise ones, they became fools. Look at all the foolishness that is palmed off in the world as truth. And it's a lie.
Oh, 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 hi! Happy Halloween! You know what? Halloween is a very special day because every time it's Halloween, there's only 55 more days until Christmas. The elves and I were working so hard, but I wanted to take a minute and I wanted to wish you a happy Halloween and say have fun trick-or-treating and also do one more thing. Be sure to go to SayHelloSanta.com and schedule your video call and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.
So let's end this segment where we began. What do you really believe? How many lies do you believe? How many things that you think of are not correct? Compare that with the seven proofs of God, and compare that with the Word of God, which is the truth. Now, men have tried to change it. Yes, indeed. Men have tried to misinterpret it. Yes, indeed. That's why we produced the book, The Holy Bible in Its Original Order. And you can go right online and review it at afaithfulversion.org, and you can get one for yourself. And you can also download the apps into your phone and have the whole Bible right there in your phone with all the commentary and with all the appendices. So I'll ask the question again. What do you really believe? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and use our other website, truthofgod.org. It is a large website containing hundreds of sermons, lot of studies, and so forth. So once again, this is Fred Coulter saying, till next time, so long, everyone.